Well, hey there, everyone. My name's Alex, and welcome to Transformation Church. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. We'd like to take a few minutes and tell you about some things coming up for you and your family around Transformation Church. So, check this out. We want to welcome first-time guests to church today, whether you're in person or online. We're so glad you decided to be with us. You can fill out a connection card in the seat back pocket in front of you and bring it back to a host team member or follow the link on your screen. We'd love to get a welcome gift into your hands. TC is headed to the ballgame. On August 26th, we'll be headed to Dutchess Stadium to see the Renegades play some ball. Tickets are $17 and include a meal voucher, a souvenir hat, and a fireworks display. Head over to tc.live to get your tickets and we'll see you there. If you have a heart for serving and you're looking for a place to get involved here at TC, we have plenty of serving opportunities for you to serve. Head over to our Get Involved tent outside and sign up to become a transformer. You can also sign up by visiting tc.live/serve. Life change cannot happen without your continued giving. We want to thank everyone who has given already for your generosity. Thank you. If you came ready to give today, there are a few ways you can do so. You can give online at tc.live/give or through the app, and you can give through the envelopes or the QR codes in the seat back pockets in front of you. Again, thank you for giving. Once again, we'd like to thank you all for being here today and tuning in online this weekend. If you have any questions about anything you've heard today or just want to find out more about the church, be sure to connect with us at tc.live via our TC app or sign up for our weekly email newsletter to stay up to date with everything happening here. We hope you have a great day and an awesome week.
Well, we're excited that you came today. We're continuing this sermon series called Talking to Jesus. It's a series on prayer. Are you guys tired of talking about prayer? Anybody in the room? This will be the longest sermon series I have ever done since I've been pastoring this church. And you might ask, why, Pastor? Why are we talking about prayer so much? Well, in June, early June, God spoke to my heart and he told me, teach my people to pray. Teach my people to pray. And immediately I knew this was going to be the summer of prayer. So we canceled everything that we normally do during the week. And we said, you know what? We're going to pray as a church. We're going to learn how to pray together. It's sort of like the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach me to pray. And we started off in July. We're going to continue now in August. And we meet on Wednesday nights to pray in a small prayer team meets on Thursdays, because I truly believe that if we can learn how to pray, prayer can change everything. I believe that. Prayer can change you. Prayer can change your circumstances. Think about it. God gives us the opportunity or the privilege to talk to him. You should think about that for a moment. You have an opportunity to talk to Jesus. And my heart and prayer for you is not that you just learn how to talk to Jesus. My heart and prayer is not that you just learn how to pray. My heart and my prayer for all of you today is that you cultivate and develop the habit of prayer. The habit of prayer. That's what we're talking about today, the habit of prayer. There's a lot of content, newsflash, a lot of content. You might want to take pictures. I'm going to be breaking stuff down. I'm going to be going fast. Okay, so that you can grasp this message and get it into your soul and get it into your spirit. But habits, let's talk about habits. How many know that habits are important? There are good habits and there are bad habits. Good habits are trying to go to the gym a few times a week. How many know that's a good habit? A bad habit is going to McDonald's a few times a week. How many know that's a bad habit? Right? A good habit is keeping your car clean. A bad habit is letting the garage stay a mess. A good habit is brushing your teeth two times a day. How many are there two times a day? A bad habit is skipping a day or two. How many of that's a very bad habit? Very bad habit. I've got good habits. I've got bad habits. You don't want to know my bad habits. And my good habits will bore you. Yes, I try to go to the gym a few times a week, but my bad habit is snacking. Don't judge me. I love snacks. How about you? You guys love snacks? And the thing is, psychologically, I think to myself, I went to the gym, I could do this. Ay, ay, ay. How many know that's a bad habit to have? Like, I have a good habit. I, like, wake up every morning, I seek the Lord, I pray, and I spend time with Jesus, but I have this bad habit that when I do wake up in the morning, I've got to hit the news app first. Ay, ay, ay. I hate when that happens. When I hit the news app first, and I find myself sometimes wasting time rabbit trailing like I did a few days ago. I was rabbit trailing, and the next thing you know it, I'm finding out all the special features of what's on Air Force One. Have you ever been there? Like, I'm like, this is supposed to be my time with God, and I'm like, Air Force One, wow, they have that? They have apartments? They have, wow, this is amazing. I'm like, what am I doing? Bad habits. But you know what I'm learning as I'm growing older? Not that much older, but let's say it this way. You know what I'm learning as I'm maturing? Good answer, right? Better way to say it. That this, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. How many want to be successful? How many want to be successful in their life, in their careers, at work, at school? You don't just become successful. You got to work at it. You have to have the habits that lead to success. How many would believe Michael Jordan, Kobe, I don't want to say his name, Tom Brady, whatever. I have to acknowledge his greatness, but oh, I hate that guy. Not because I don't like him, it's just he was a patriot. You know what I mean? Like a patriot. Ugh. Don't like the Patriots. Anyway, but you would acknowledge their greatness. Let me just tell you something. They just didn't wake up great. They have habits that lead to their greatness. They have habits that lead to their success. You all agree with me on that. They have intense habits of working out. You do not want Tom Brady's exercise program. You don't want his diet plan. He has avocado ice cream. Like, really? It's nasty. Avocado ice cream. But these are habits that lead to success, and successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Sean Covey, he wrote a lot of several books on habits, and this is what he says. He says, depending on what they are, our habits make us or break us. We become what we repeatedly do. Our habits make us or break us. Let's pause. Let's push pause for a moment. What are your habits like? What are your habits like when it comes to personal hygiene? Think about that, right? What are your habits when it comes to cleaning your house? Can we, like, open your bedroom door? Like, if we went right now to your house, how many would give me permission to go into their bedroom? Come on now. I would say this. How many would not give me permission to go into their bedroom? How about bathroom? How many would let me into their bathroom? That's about three of you. Think about your habits physically. Think about your physical habits. Think about your exercise habits, your eating habits. Listen, if you're going to get healthy, you don't wake up healthy. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. How many know that? It doesn't just happen. Think about your health habits. Think about your eating habits. Think about your sleeping habits. You can't go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and wake up refreshed at 6. How many know that? It just doesn't happen. Good health requires sleeping, eating, right? Exercise. What about your study habits? Some of your students going to college, going back to college, right? Some of your students are like, well, I don't know why I didn't pass. Well, let's first look at your study habits. Think about your study habits. Think about your hygiene, your cleanliness habits. Think about your reading habits. How are your reading habits doing? But the most important habit is your habit of prayer. Let's take a moment, push pause. Because I feel the tension in the room because I know I'm going to get into an area that you don't want me to go into, but too late, too bad, you're here, you're sitting. You can't leave. Security, block the doors. Okay, we're going to get into your prayer habit, your prayer room. Tell me what your prayer habit's like. Let's do a little self-evaluation. If you were to rate your prayer life from 0 to 10, what would your number be? 0, non-existent. 10, like all day, every day. And by the way, if you put 10, you're lying, because you know it's not all day, every day. Maybe 9.5. Take a moment. I want you to think about your prayer number. Where are you? And this is not to bring shame. This is not to bring embarrassment. This is meant to help you, because in this teaching, I want to help you develop the habit of prayer. Because if you pray consistently, how many know that that would impact every area of your life? Because when you pray and talk to Jesus, you're connected to God more. Remember week one? You're connected to God more, right? You receive the blessing of God. You're closer to God. Prayer, it takes prayer. But the truth is, a lot of us want to be people of prayer. We want to be, let me ask you this question. How many want to be known as a passionate follower of Jesus? Don't raise your hand. Passionate follower of Jesus. I think if we look at our life, we all want to be passionate followers of Jesus. But I just want to give you a newsflash. Show me your habits, and I'll show you what you'll become. Let me go a little deeper. Show me your habits, and I'll show you who you are. Because you are what you consistently do. So this is the thing about becoming a follower of Jesus. God wants you not just to get saved and get to heaven. He wants to transform your life. He wants to change you. He wants to use you. We call that a transforming follower of Jesus. That's our mission statement, leading people far from God into a transforming relationship with Jesus. You know what I'm learning? That transforming followers of Jesus live with habits that consistently open themselves up to the presence of Jesus and lead them closer to God. Was that good? Habits. Your habits. Because successful people do what other people do. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Think about that. And I know that in our hearts of hearts, we all want to be followers of Jesus. That's why we're here. We're wanting to learn and grow. We want to become, but it's more than just attending. I want you to look at your habits of worship. I want you to look at your habits of worship. You know, I encourage you to go to church, not so that I can check you off on the list and say you went to church. How many know that going to church is a good habit to have? How many know that? Like, transforming followers of Jesus live with habits that consistently open themselves to the presence of Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that can change you. Jesus is the only one that can change me. And if we want to be transforming and changed and become like Christ, because that's our heart, to become like Jesus, then worship is a habit. There's three things Scripture teaches us, Jesus teaches us, that's so important when we follow Jesus. He says, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. Those are habits that consistently open ourselves up to the presence of Jesus. The habit of worship, the habit of prayer, the habit of giving, the habit of serving. You know, when we invite you to serve, it's not that we need you. Sometimes we come to church and they think, oh no, they need us. Oh no, you get hooked up in church, they're going to work you to death because they need you. Pastor, we don't need you. We are inviting you. Listen to me now. We're inviting you and giving you an opportunity to become like Christ through serving. Come on, so I wish I got some feedback this morning. That's okay. Y'all can be quiet all you want. I'm still going to preach. I'm still going to get up in your grill. I'm still going to do it. Because people are like, oh, I have to serve. No, you don't have to serve. You get to serve. It is the highest honor and privilege to serve God by serving others. Can I just preach about serving? Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom. So all we're doing is inviting you to develop the habit that opens yourselves up to the presence of God and grows you closer to Jesus. You see, people, this is what happens with people. Their lives are so busy that they think church is an add-on. They think, oh my God, I have to add serving to church. No, you have to rearrange your life around God and his purposes and his habits and his plan for your life. Woo! Y'all didn't come ready, but I did. I came ready. Isn't that so good that you have to rearrange your life around God? And this is what people do. They live crazy, active lives. And then they come and they're like, And God is saying, relax, take a breath, rearrange your life around me because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love you. What are the habits? We're talking about prayer. Prayer is your primary habit that you must develop and cultivate in your life if you're going to follow Jesus. And there's no shame here because I'll be honest with you, I've struggled with this habit. And I was a pastor. Can you imagine that? I struggled with the habit of prayer for many years. I lived in shame and guilt. I thought, you know what? I'm a pastor. I should be like up at 4 a.m. And there were many months and time to periods of my life that I just didn't develop the habit of prayer. You know what happened to me? I burnt out. I got exhausted. I just wasn't connected to the presence. I wasn't connected to my lifeline. I wasn't connected to Jesus. I wasn't connected because prayer connects you with Jesus, doesn't it? Opens yourself up to the presence of God and fuels your heart and soul. Because a relationship without communication is just two people. We've said that, right? So prayer is so important that we develop that habit. And I'm going to give you a biblical reference, an example of someone who had the habit of prayer, who lived in a period of time that we did, similar, that we're living. And that is Daniel. We look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was an Israelite. Babylon takes over Jerusalem. And now Babylon takes the people of God into captivity. And King Nebuchadnezzar chooses some men who were elites, who were a step above the others, to use them for the king's service, and they chose Daniel. But Daniel, although he had to serve the king and live in the culture of Babylon, he still maintained his spiritual habits and practices of prayer and worship. He didn't allow the busyness or the culture to impact his routine in prayer. And actually, in Daniel chapter 1, you'll read that the king invited all of these young men to be trained and to learn how to serve the king. And he wanted them to eat of the king's food. This is the king's food. And Daniel pushed away the king's food. And he says, no, I'm just going to eat fruits and vegetables. And this is where we get the Daniel fast from, in which Daniel just honored God by how he lived his life, healthy habits. And eventually, at the end of 10 days, and later on in Daniel chapter 3, you'll read that after 21 days, Daniel was healthier. Daniel had more mental sharpness. He looked better than all the other people. And they were amazed by Daniel. So now Daniel is rising up the ranks. And now Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, has these visions and dreams and is wondering what the interpretations are. So he summons Daniel. Daniel gives the interpretation of these dreams. And now, because he has great wisdom and understanding and discernment because of his healthy habits, right? He starts getting promoted. By the way, habits can also promote you because successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. And now he's almost at the same level of King Nebuchadnezzar, but the people around King Nebuchadnezzar were jealous and angry at Daniel. They didn't want him to be in charge, so they set him up with this trap. In Daniel 6, we read here that it pleased King Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them. One was with Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself above the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And at this, the administrators and satraps wanted to find charges, wanted to come up with something to charge him with something. And this is the setup. This is the setup. First of all, they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy nor corrupt, neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said this, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God or his religion. So they're like, okay, we need this guy out of office, so let's make something up. Let's find something to get him out. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, may King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown in the lion's den. So this is the story. This is what's going on. Okay? They make a decree without King Darius really knowing what's going on behind the scenes and says whoever prays to any other person or any other god is going to be put to death, thrown in the lion's den. And I love this because in verse 10, Daniel responds to this edict, this decree. And this is what he says in verse 10. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and what? Knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open towards Jerusalem. What did it say he did? He what? Prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Isn't that incredible? Daniel had the habit of prayer in his life. And it didn't matter what was going on around him. It didn't matter the threats. It didn't matter what people were saying to him. His habit of prayer actually anchored him in one of the most difficult seasons of his life, in a place where he didn't belong, Babylon, doing things he never wanted to do. Church, we are living in the days of Babylon. We are living in difficult times. And I just want to exhort you as your pastor that unless you have that habit of prayer, you're going to be pushed by the winds and thrown by the waves. You're going to be struggle. They're saying today that anxiety is at an all-time high, that people are losing their minds, and you see it in culture. You see it in the driving. You see it on the highways. People are just losing their darn minds. And there's this anxiety that is flooding our society and our culture because of the uncertainties of tomorrow. My friends, this is supposed to happen. Do not be surprised when we go into difficult, perilous times. Jesus said, when you see these things, just know that the end is coming. But a mark of a New Testament follower of Jesus is one who's grounded in peace because they have the habit of prayer. They have a habit of talking to Jesus. They have the habit of connecting with God. And Jesus said that that he is the Prince of Peace. And he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, bring your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But that only comes when we cultivate the habit of prayer. When we're learning how to sit with God, when we're learning to be with Jesus, when we're creating a place and space to connect with God. Like Daniel. Daniel prayed as usual. He had always done. And he gave thanks to his God. God, you are good and your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. Thank you, Lord. You are my strength. You are the stronghold of my life. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid of the terror by night nor the arrows that fly by day. God, you are my strength. You are my shield. You are my fortress. In you I will trust. But his prayer did not keep him from trouble. And sometimes we think that people of prayer is going to keep us from trouble. No, we will go through trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have issues. But this is what I'm learning, that when you cultivate the habit of prayer, it won't keep you from trouble. But prayer will protect you from trouble. Prayer will keep you at peace in the midst of trouble. So they discovered that Daniel did pray, and they ended up throwing him in the lion's den. It actually happened. And now, because of his habit of prayer, look at this painting. Daniel, on his knees before the Lord, as he always did, is in a lion's den, and not one lion touches him. This den were full of hungry lions, lions that would devour any person or anything that would be thrown into this pit. But because Daniel had the habit of prayer, he knew God, God knew him, God protected him in the midst of the trouble. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That we doesn't mean that we won't go through the valleys. It doesn't mean that we won't sometimes sit in the furnace or sometimes go into places where people around us will feel like we're being attacked. But just remember that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, of the perilous pestilence. That's what the Psalm 91 says, right? Isn't that awesome? Because he had the habit of prayer. And I just want to give you this main point today. We can't grow closer to Jesus without the habit of talking to Jesus. It is impossible. It's impossible. This is the thing that we think we are growing closer to Jesus because we follow Jesus. But a lot of us follow Jesus like we follow people on Instagram. This is how it is for us. We follow Jesus. And we read his posts. God will work it out. Come on, yes, God will work it out. I got my little inspiration for the day. God's going to work it out. You know, God's going to work it out. God's going to work it out. What does this one say? Until you are a blessing to others, you're not blessed. Holla. Right? You're blessed to be a blessing. But just because you read these doesn't mean you're growing closer to Jesus. Just because you follow Jesus like you follow him on Instagram. Because this is the thing. You follow a lot of people on Instagram and you think you know them. Right? We follow people on Instagram. They follow their posts. Oh, wow, they're doing that. Oh, wow, they're doing that. Oh, wow, that's cool. They went where on vacation or they're doing this. Wow, I know them. No, you don't. You don't know them. You don't know them until you talk to them. Because when I talk to you, not only do I know you, you know me. You know me. And I know you because we have a conversation. But the struggle is real, isn't it? Like, I want to be a person of prayer. Gosh darn it, why is it that I struggle to pray? How many, let's be honest on this. Take a step back and say, I know, Pastor, what you're saying. I want to do it, but I struggle. But Paul struggled too, and this is what he writes in Romans 7:15. He says, I don't really understand myself because I want to talk to Jesus. I want to pray, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I scroll. I hate it. I love it, but I hate it. I love it, but I hate it. I brought my phone up here for a purpose. That's right. I forgot. I don't have time to talk to Jesus because I'm following all these people. I need to know what's going on. Wow. And this is what Paul's saying. He says, I want to have these habits, but I struggle with these habits. And I want to help you with that. Because this is not a message to make you feel guilty, to guilt you into talking to Jesus. We're not going to guilt you into talking to Jesus. I'm going to help you cultivate the habit of prayer. Stay with me now. So Paul has this struggle, and this is what he said. Oh, what a miserable person I am. First thing that we see Paul do is he equates his failure to his identity. He thinks that because he failed in some area of his life that he's a failure. Said how miserable I am. First of all, your prayer life does not determine your eternal destiny. You are not saved by praying. You are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. I wish I got more amens this morning. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you guys don't know the coffees. I know we cafes closed. That's okay. But maybe you don't know the coffee's on. Get coffee before you walk in. I just want to tell you, give me some energy, some love. Give me something, right? Right? Like, am I right? Like we think that these habits are dependent on us. And when we fail, we're a failure. And this is what he says, oh, miserable person I am, because I've equated my identity to what I do. And just because you're prayerless doesn't mean you're a failure. I just need to say that. Doesn't mean you're bad. Doesn't mean you're evil. Just means that you have an opportunity to grow. And this is what he says. I love it because now he's shifting his thinking. He goes, oh, miserable man that I am. What does that say? He doesn't say what. Because in order to develop healthy habits, especially spiritually speaking, we have to know the who. It's about who, not what. He says, who's going to free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? And he says, the answer is, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, when you know your identity, when you know your who, then you know your do. Your do flows from who? Who you are. Who you want to become. Who do you want to become? We want to be followers of Jesus. And if we want to be followers of Jesus, then we know what to do. That do flows from who? We're not trying to please God. We're not trying, because there's nothing we can do to please God. We don't pray to please God. We pray to love God. We pray to know God. We pray to have a relationship with God. We don't pray for any other reason. Because we pray because we are followers of Christ. We are children of God. We pray because we are Christ followers. So your identity is not in your failure. It's in your Savior. That's where your identity is. It's not in what you've done or don't do. It's in who Jesus is. So what do you do? I tell you, I'm going to go quick. Shift your identity from what you do to who you are. Then you know and who you want to become. Who do you want to become? If you want to become Tom Brady, then do what Tom Brady does. It's called TB12, right? TB12 workout, TB12 diet. It's all about becoming like Tom Brady, right? If you want to do T30X, is that what you call it? P30X? And be like Coach, what's his name? Help me out, I didn't think of this. He kind of looks like me, the dude that just like. Billy Blake. There you go, Billy Blake. I know they get us confused all the time. They're like, you look like Billy Blake. You do those videos? If you want to be like Billy Blake, you got to work out like Billy Blake. But if you want to be like Jesus, you got to do what Jesus did and follow him. That's the motivation of our habits. And then what you do reinforces simply who you are. You don't pray to be a Christian. You pray because you are a Christ follower. You pray, you give, you fast, you serve because you are a Christ follower. That's what you do. Your doing comes from your being. Here we go. I tell you, I'm going to go quick. Here we go. Our habits are not rooted in the have-tos to please God, but want-tos because we love God. Where does the habit of prayer begin? I want to. I want to pray. He's my master. He's my savior. Where does the habit of prayer begin? Desire. I love Jesus. I want to be with him. I want to know him. I want a relationship with him. And I think a lot of us get caught up with the doing and the have-to of praying that we get discouraged when we fail in praying because we've lost the true motivation of what prayer even comes from. And when I discovered that I don't have to pray to be a good pastor, I get to pray, I get to talk to him. I just want to be with him. He wants to be with me. When I kind of realized that I pray not because it's the religious thing to do, but because it's the love thing to do, man, it changed everything. It changed everything. It's not the have to do. It's not the religious thing to do. It's the thing that we get to do because we love God and God loves us, so we pray because we love him. I'm only halfway through this message, but we're going to finish up. I tell you, we're going to finish up in time. Is that good? Is that helping you? It starts with desire. Let me teach you now a little more. So now we get into desire. What's your desire? What's your passion? What's your desire? And this is the thing. A lot of us are prayerless because we've lost our desire. All habits begin with desire, craving. Some of you have lost your craving for God because you have been eating other things. Yeah. You've been medicating on other things. You've been indulging in other things, and you've lost your taste for God. You're craving for God. Let's get our craving back. Let's be a church that we desire God and relationship. Let's be a church that when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, that we are so excited that Sunday's here. Oh my goodness. That we're so excited. Let's be a church that's so excited to wake up in the mornings to be still and know that he is God. Let's be a church that gets so excited to be home and spend time. Let's be a church that gets more excited for God than the Yankees. And I'm telling you, that's hard. That's hard. So let me keep going. I got a lot to cover. How do we cultivate and develop the habit of prayer? So now how do we do this? We start with desire. Here we go. I'm going to teach you something called the habit loop. This is how it begins. It all starts with craving. This powers the habit loop. It goes from cue, routine, and reward. Cue, routine, and reward. So here's the craving. Here's the desire. I want to be healthy. Okay? The cue is a trigger that tells your brain which routine to use. So a cue, when I wake up in the morning, the alarm clock goes off. It's fueled by desire. The alarm clock tells me I need to brush my teeth, use the bathroom, do my things, and then head to the gym. It's a cue. Cues then kick off the routine. It's the physical, mental, emotional behavior that follows the cue. This is the behavior. The behavior is kicked off by the cue. The cue is then fueled by the craving or desire, and then you have the reward. I look, you know, this is the gym. I look buff. That's the reward, feeling great, right? So this is what I want to do and help you with is give you five cues to help you develop the habit of prayer. Now I'm going to give you practical, because it's easy to say you got to pray, and you go home saying, but how? You ready to learn something really fun and easy? Five cues. Now you have the craving. Some of you have to work on the craving, the desire. Lord, give me a greater desire. Give me a greater passion. Give me a greater heart for prayer. Here we go. So cue number one. Ready? To develop the habit of prayer. You pray when, five cues to develop the habit of prayer. Here we go. You pray when you are happy. Cue kicks off the routine. I'm going to pray when I'm happy. Hold on one second. I'll give you the cue in a minute. Hold on a second. I did call you up. Cue. Ready? Happy. A good day. Lord, thank you that this is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Habit of prayer. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus when it's a special occasion. Oh, it's a beautiful birthday party for Johnny and Jimmy. That's great. Let's take a moment to pray. Oh, what a beautiful occasion. It's our anniversary. Oh, it's a beautiful occasion. Oh, it's wonderful. It's special. Invite God into it. Pray. Pray when you have a work achievement. You've accomplished a goal. Thank you, Lord. You've given me these gifts, talents, and abilities to accomplish these great things in my life. Thank you, Lord, because I couldn't have done anything without you. Pray when you have a great meal. Gosh darn it. Like, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, when you're with family and friends. We were friends a couple days ago. I was just saying, Lord, thank you for great friends. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to cultivate prayer. Happiness is going to cue me to my habit, my routine, which is going to be prayer. I'm going to talk to you and say, thank you, Jesus. Cue number one, when you're happy. Cue number two, when you're alone. You could be alone in your car. You could be alone in the shower. Is this a good place for some of you in the shower? In the bathroom, when you're in the car, maybe you want to push pause on talk radio and you want to say, God, I'm talking to you today. I'm going to use this car ride as a cue to lead me to my routine, which is going to give me great reward. Lord, I'm going to pray with you in the, to you in my bedroom. I'm going to go on a walk. But what about when I have emotions? When I feel sad, I'm going to pray. When I'm mad, I'm going to pray. When I'm glad, I'm going to pray. What about those emotions? Right? Let's go to cue number three. So cue number two is alone. Cue number three is when things are bad, when there's a crisis, pray. When there's a setback, pray. When there's disappointments, pray. When things are bad, or what about when you do bad? When you mess up, pray. Repentance. Say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, heal me. Recalibrate your soul. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to you, Jesus. I'm going to recalibrate my soul. I'm going to speak to you, Jesus. What about cue number four? You got y'all getting pictures? I'm flying. Cue number four, inadequate, when you feel inadequate. How many have ever said, I can't do this. This is too much. I need a break. I'm overwhelmed. I need help. Pray. Talk to Jesus about it. Jesus, I can't do this. And he says, yes, you can. No, I can. Yes, you can. No, I can. Yes, you can. I can. You can. I can. I can. I can. Yeah, yes, I can. This is too much. How many said that this past week? This is too much. Oh, this is too much. Talk to Jesus about it. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I need a break. How many have said that? I need a break. I'm overwhelmed. I need help. Right? And number five, y'all ready? Is whenever you think about it. Whenever it comes to mind. Whenever you think about it. Because, listen, whenever it comes to mind, pray. That's God saying, your soul, your spirit saying, pray. Pray, pray. Because check it out. 1 Thessalonians 5. Ready? It says here, 5:18, never stop praying. Never stop praying. What are the five cues to developing the habit of prayer? When you're happy, when you're alone, when things are bad. Things are inadequate. Whenever you think, maybe you'll see it. Do you see it? Habit. Develop the habit. The habit. The habit. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for my church. Thank you for the beautiful sun. Thank you for what you're doing. Oh, thank you, Lord, because you're good. Your mercy. Oh, thank you, Lord. That the broccoli was on sale. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the chicken's 99 cents a pound. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my children. Thank you for my family. Lord, I talk to you. Lord, I feel alone. I'm lonely. I need you. God, I can't do this. Help me. Think about it. Habit. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Do you want to be a successful, transforming follower of Jesus? Let's work on our prayer habits. Can we do that? Let me pray for you. I want you to bow your head. Jesus, let this message be ingrained in our hearts, our lives, our soul. Teach us to pray, but also help us to cultivate the habit of prayer. Lord, we come to you. We bring ourselves before you and we say, God, thank you.